If you have your Bible and you want to follow along today, we're going to start in Mark chapter 4. I invite you to turn your Bible app, and follow along with us this morning. A little bit out of place. Usually I'm preaching off of the slides in front of me and I have a clicker, so my hand, I don't know what to do here. But last night I was coming back from the youth and Can I just open up to you this morning? I made fun of Kim this morning. I know that's hard to believe, right? But when I got here this morning and I said, Kim, you know, we're not going to do our children's Sabbath message. And she said, okay, why? And I said, well, a lot of people aren't going to be able to come. And she said, how come? I said, Kim, there's a hurricane that's coming up this way. Really? Hey, Kim? Oh, I don't watch the weather. And I made fun of her and I thought, well, that's so silly. But then I also remember that last night I was with the youth at the lake house for their retreat, and my phone started going off when I could get service, and it was people asking about our service today, and I said, of course we're having service today. In fact, I think even last night I was talking with Jim, texting back and forth, and I said, yeah, of course we're having service tonight. You know, Jesus didn't get tired when he was walking up the hill to Golgotha. Surely we can drive down the road in the rain to get to church, right? And I realized, you know, I wasn't really all that aware of what was going on either. I was just kind of going through. I didn't really know it was going to be bad. As it turned out, things aren't that bad right now. But around us, there are people who are suffering. And I'm glad that we took time to pray for them. And I hope that you will continue to pray for them. And I hope that you'll continue to look for ways to help. Around us, there will be trees down. There will be limbs down. There will be fences down. And when you see your neighbor hurting, offer to lift them up. Offer help wherever you can. And if you can't, call Andy Benson. He's at home this afternoon and he's free and he'll help whoever wants to. But the fact of the matter is, all of us face storms in life. Just like we're facing Nate today, we all face storms in life. Amen? And I don't know where you and your family are, but I know that in my household, our family is enduring storm after storm after storm right now. It feels like we're in hurricane season at 5001 Evergreen Court. And sometimes we can't really lift our heads, but as Nate comes through and we had all this potential destruction that was coming with it, and fears were up and we were so upset and so nervous, but we forget, in the midst of all of our storms is the one who calms storms. Amen? And I think that today this storm and this time maybe is an opportunity to remind us that He is here and that He is with us. And I created this little picture this morning. In any storm, we are never alone when we have Christ. No matter if it's a storm outside raining down rain and wind, or if it's a storm in our family or a storm in our heart or our mind, the storm in the world around us, we're never alone when we have Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have hope. And because of that, we can be healed. You look around our church, you see a lot of people are facing storms right now. Rick Pilgreen just had surgery for cancer this week. Kathleen has, the storm of cancer has surfaced on her shores yet again. How many storms can this lady endure? And yet every time she comes through so strong. We look around, we see people who are sick and hurting and people who are enduring those storms. We also look around and we see families that are in crisis. We see families that are falling apart because of other storms. We see people who are battling depression and people who are battling other sicknesses and people who are battling addiction. All in our midst, each and every day, all around us, these storms are raging. And we're reminded when that happens that it's a blessed thing to know that we have something that can hold us in the midst of that storm. The anchor that is Christ Jesus. Because without that, there is nothing. You know, this past week, we saw another round of horrible violence beyond what we can even imagine. The gunman in Las Vegas at that concert. And we look at that and we say, God, how in the world can you allow this to happen? Where are you in the midst of that? And we see a storm like that. And sometimes it's easy for us to give up hope and say, this is the end. Our world is coming to a close. Fact of the matter is, Christ is still alive. We have been in wars in our country for the last 16 or 17 years, uninterrupted. And now we have two people getting ready to go to war on the other side of the world, our country and Korea. Threats of wars are all around us. Death evil is all around us, and it's very easy for us to miss God. But we need to remember, as we're fixing to read in Mark 4, that the disciples also faced storms. And when they faced a storm, much like the one we're facing today, a valuable lesson was given to us. So Mark 4, beginning in verse 35, listen closely as the gospel of Christ speaks into our hearts today. "And on that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let's go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was." Just as he was. That sounds funny to me. They took Jesus just as he was, as if he might have needed to get straight before he got on their boat, right? I'll take Jesus just as he is any day of the week. "Other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" If you read that same story in another version in Luke 8, it says, "Where is your faith?" And that's the challenge for us. When our storms come against us and they hit us, when sickness comes or when our family's falling apart, where is our faith? Where is our faith? So many times when a storm comes, we just want to go and prepare, right? What we can do with our hands to get through this thing. When addiction brings its head into our family, when divorce brings its head into our family, when depression is on the outskirts of our family, we look at this and we say, "What can I do to fix this?" And the answer to that every time is what? Nothing. There's nothing we can do to fix that. If there was something we could do to fix those things, we wouldn't have those problems, right? When a gunman opens fire and kills, what, 58, 59 people now, I think? Hundreds more are injured. What can we do to stop that? Nothing. There's nothing we can do. Remember, in our series about fighting for things that truly matter, we were reminded that we're not fighting against people. We're fighting against the principles of darkness, right? We're not fighting against that gunman. We're not fighting against, now they're saying that they believe he may have had mental illness, undiagnosed. We're not fighting against that. We're not fighting against him. We're not fighting against the guns that he used. We're fighting against the evil that overtook him and drove him to do what he did. That storm was brought about by the enemy. Where is our faith? We should be running to Christ when the storm comes. Too many times we find out that when the storm comes, we yell out to Christ, "Where are you?" In our Encounter the Father Bible study, I think it was this week, Carolyn Moore writes about a story that someone shared with her. And she wrote this story, and it's just so powerful. A little girl in a bathtub. Her mom comes in and is giving her a bath, and the little girl says, "Mom, the water's too hot." The mom gets angry and gets upset and yells at her, says, "It's not too hot." And the little girl is getting upset. You know, hot water, it's hurting, it's hurting. She said, "It's too hot, it's too hot." And the mom takes and shoves the girl into the water. And when she does, she's burned. The little girl remembers the pain. The little girl remembers that the next thing that happened is dad comes in and takes her, the little girl, and takes her to the hospital because mom's still in her gown and can't go. Years later, she finds out that mom had just been diagnosed with depression. Her mom was going through something that wasn't mom. It was something that was attacking mom. But this little girl grew into a woman who always had conflict with God. And finally, she came to a point one day where she screamed out at God, "God, where were you in the middle of the scalding water? Where were you when I was under the scalding water?" And she's crying out. And how many times have we done that? "God, where were you in Las Vegas? Where were you when my family was falling apart? Where were you when I was hurt and broken and needed you most? Where are you? Where were you on the coast last night when this hurricane came ashore? God, where were you when I was under the scalding water?" And she cried out. She's getting rid of all of that doubt and all of that pain that she's been dealing with for years. And then God replied. You know what his reply was? I was under the scalding water. Isn't that powerful? Wherever we are, God is right there with us. God, where were you when the shooting was taking place? I was there, being shot, being wounded, being scared. But I was also there rescuing and covering and providing aid. Where were you when the storm hit the Gulf last night? Well, I was there watching my creation being destroyed by a storm. I was there watching my children lose their possessions. My houses of worship were also destroyed. But I'll also be there in the days and weeks to come rebuilding what my children lost, providing love and hope and restoration where there was none. When the storm hits, where is God? Right there beside us, protecting us, suffering and enduring the same pain that we're suffering and enduring, because we are never, ever alone. So when the storms come and threaten, whatever they may be, we know that we can endure because Jesus was in the scalding water with us. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you." And then here's the part we always recite. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? We say that all the time, don't we? God is with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. I probably repeated that verse to people for years and years and years before I even understood what the word forsake meant. That's not a word we use in everyday language, right? As I went through Scripture, I found that phrase that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Listed in Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua 1:5. The one we quote most often is Hebrews 13:5 and 6. It's a word for word quote. It's also in 1 Kings chapter 8, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, in Psalm 37 and Psalm 94, in Isaiah 41 and Isaiah 42. Why is it you think that God recorded those same words time and time and time again? It's because that we need to know that we are not alone. And it doesn't have any prerequisites with it. It doesn't say, if you are a good tither, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't say, if you're a good attender, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't say, if you're a good Methodist or a good Baptist. It doesn't say, if you're sinless. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Period. End of story. God was with me in the storms long before I called Him on His name to save me and redeem me. It's called prevenient grace. It's a grace that we don't earn and we don't even ask for. It's just a grace that God gives us to guide us to a place where we can understand His love for us. And God's grace continues to cover me now as the storms batter me. I know that I'm not alone. Sarah's favorite movie is Forrest Gump. I hate that movie. I like that movie like the first 12, 13 dozen times we saw it, you know. But now, I don't like that movie. It's made me not even like Tom Hanks. I just can't get past this. We watch it so often. But in that movie, little Jenny is running away from her abusive dad. And Forrest is with her. And they run into a cornfield. Do you remember what she prays when she runs in that cornfield? She has a storm that's coming after her that is going to threaten and eventually does destroy her. And she takes Forrest and she runs in the cornfield. And she calls out on the only name she knows, bigger than her storm. And she prays a simple prayer. Dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far, far away from here. How many times have we needed that prayer? God, just pick me up out of this. I can't endure this anymore. I can't do this. This storm is too big. Make me a bird so I can fly above it. How many times has God responded and just said, hold my hand and we'll fly together. Hold my hand and we'll fly together. Psalm 55:8, the psalmist writes, I will run to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and the tempest. That's exactly what Jenny did. She ran to the one place that she knew could shelter her. And so many times we try to fix things with our own hands instead of just giving up and running to the Father and saying, God, I can't endure this storm. Protect me, guide me, show me, hold me, use me, be with me. Where is our faith? Our faith can't be in what we can do with our own hands. Our faith can't be in what our neighbors can do to save us. Our faith can't be in our evacuation plan, although we need to have an evacuation plan. Our faith can't be in our active shooter plans, even though we shouldn't even have to have active shooter plans. Amen? But our faith can't be in those things, and as much as we love law enforcement and first responders, our faith can't be in them. Our faith can only reside in our Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the only one who shelters us from the storms. And He is the only one we can turn to when the storm overtakes us. The disciples were about to sink. And every time I read that story, I think of little Michael Franklin. When I say little Michael Franklin, it's because Mike Franklin, the guitar player, stands about this tall. Roughly? Yeah. And little Mike stands about this tall, but he's about that wide. All muscle. So I feel weird calling him little Mike because he can bench press the church. But when little Mike wasn't this wide, he was still just short. He was little Mike. And we went duck hunting together and coming across one day, and Guntersville Lake sits on a north-south azimuth. So anytime there's a big storm, the wind blows, the waves get really big. And we're coming across in a boat way too small with way too many things in it. And if I'm not mistaken, Chase was the third person in this boat. And we began taking water on the side. Well, I threw the bilge pump on. Bilge pump's pumping out water through a hose this big around. It ain't doing a whole lot, you know. And so I look up, and little Michael Franklin has a life jacket on. And when we hunt, we rarely wear life jackets. We have them close by, but we don't wear them because we can't move in them. You already got enough clothes on. You look like the Michelin blimp guy, right? So you put something on top of that, and you just, I can't drive the boat anymore. I look up, and Michael Franklin is putting life jacket on over his head. That's probably a good thing. That's a good thing, Michael. And I'm looking, and Chase has found some kind of a can. He's cut the top off, a 12-ounce Dr. Pepper can, and he's bailing, just like this right here, you know. I look up again, and Michael Franklin now has another life jacket, and he has buckled the jacket, and he is stepping into it like a big diaper. And he pulls this life jacket on, upside down, one over the top, one up from the bottom, and I went, now that's preparation. And I remember in the boat thinking, that guy is either very scared or really smart, and I don't know which one it is. We made it, eventually. The boat had about 3 inches of boat above water. We were the first ever duck submarine on Guntersville. It was a scary time. But in the midst of that, we were trying to do things ourselves. Chase was bailing as fast as he could. I'm watching each wave and trying my best to get the boat to maneuver to hit it head on instead of sideways so we don't swamp. Michael Franklin is getting everything he can that floats and attaching it to his body. We were doing everything we could to survive. And I'm not sure that Jesus would have looked down and saved our dumb heads at that moment. But I do know this. We didn't pray that day. Like we always do when we take off from the shore, we were in a hurry. We knew a storm was coming. We wanted to beat the guys to this pocket across the lake because that's where the ducks were going to go. And in our hurry, we didn't pray. And on the way back, we didn't pray. We tried to fix it ourselves. And I believe if that day, if we'd have met Jesus at the pearly gates, He would have looked at us and said, where was your faith? And then He would have said, you need a bigger boat. At least that's what I always tell Sarah. She doesn't get that either. Here's what we need to take home from today. Christ never promised to protect us from Nate. Christ never promised to protect us from storms. He's never promised us that if we accepted Him as our Savior, that the storms are going to magically disappear. In fact, in reality, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and we live in His ways, guess what usually happens? We become the trailer park in the middle of Tornado Alley, right? And storms seem to be attracted to us. The enemy is going to do all he can to send anything against us to get us off of our game. But Jesus is asleep on the cushion. Jesus is in the midst of the scalding water. Jesus is right there beside us. And if He is there with us, there is nothing on earth, under the earth, above the earth, beside the earth that can come against us and defeat us. Amen? Where is our faith? When the storm comes, we have to turn to Christ. The good news is this. He didn't promise to take us away from the storms, but He did promise that He'll always be with us in the midst of them. He'll protect us. He'll restore us. And He will fight for us. This goes back to a few weeks ago. We're talking about things that are worth fighting for. To God, you are worth fighting for. In the midst of the storms that affect you and your family, He will be there every time. So we can rest in Him. We can place our faith in Him. And we can take the storms head on. Because when Christ is in us, we cannot be defeated. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father God, our hearts do go out to all of those affected by these storms, these physical storms that we've been watching on these weather maps as they come ashore. But here in this place this morning, we pray for all the storms we can't see, the storms that are driving husband and wife apart, the storms that are driving children away from their parents, the storms that are affecting our businesses, our livelihood, the storms of addiction, the storms of disease, the storms of depression, all these things that are eating at us and tearing us apart and destroying us from the inside out. You see those better than any of us. We put on great masks to hide these things from our friends, but you see what's attacking us. You see our storms. And you are right there in the midst. So help us to pass away our fear. Help us to pass along our desire to try to fix things with our own hands. And help us just to rely on our faith. You and you alone have power to calm our storms. You and you alone are the strength we need to endure our storms. And in you and you alone, we put our faith and hope that when in the midst of the storm, we are not alone. Person or the people that are here today that feel like they're fighting and battling something and they're all by themselves, please God, through your power of your Holy Spirit, speak into them and remind them that you are right there and that you have the answer and you have the power and you have the ability. All they need to have is the faith. Thank you for bringing our youth back to us safely from their trip. Continue to be with our adults as they go on mission. And God, continue to be with us as we endure the storms of life raging around us. In your holy name we seek you. And in your holy name we will follow you. Amen.